תוגי מהלכות וחול המועד תראה ואני writing on חול המועד writing on חול המועד is prohibited for three reasons it's prohibited there's three reasons why you'll be able to write חול המועד first reason is דבר העבד if it's something that you if you don't write it down you lose because of it. We'll see some examples. And then you're allowed to write it down. Or the needs of the public. You need to inform people for a certain important thing. You're allowed to write it down regularly on paper. Or even if it's not for the needs of the public, but it's the need of Chol HaMoed. The need of the Moed. The reason why you're going to see examples. And so for three reasons you're allowed to write a Chol HaMoed. Either for loss, if you don't write you're going to lose something, therefore you're allowed to write. Number two, for the need of the public. Number three, for the need of the Chag itself, of the Moed itself. So now I go into details. Cheshbonot, chayotze bazeh, shivei chtevei b'shkicheh, mutar l'gozan, v'dal devar avid. Right? If he has a makolet. Yeah. Now, people buy from him, but they pay at the end of the month. He doesn't register, he doesn't write it down. He's not going to know how much people owe him. You're going to lose money. And of course, you're allowed to write it down on Chol HaMoed. But otherwise, you're not allowed to write. So if someone has a store like that, he has to write it down. If someone took a loan from you, you have to write it down. However, if you don't write it down, you're not going to say, oh, yeah, I'll write it after Chol HaMoed. No, you write it today on Chol HaMoed. Write it regularly. Why? Because it's something which, if you don't write down, you might lose. Therefore, you're allowed. You're right, but only those kind of things, not just anything. מותר למורה לכתוב מורה מקומות לשיעור כיוון שצור חביב? Now, if someone to give a shiur, and he wants to write headlines for the class, he wants to photocopy it and give it out to the class. So of course, he's allowed to write it on Chol HaMoed because it's for the need of the public. Okay. Now, also, if someone is writing Chidush HaTorah, that if he doesn't write it down now, he's going to forget. So it's something that you might lose. You're not losing Chidush HaTorah. Therefore, you're allowed to write down Chidush HaTorah, even if it's for his own use, on Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to write it down, in order for you not to lose. Because you might forget it. In a place where Jews work in the bank, like in Eretz Yisrael, most go working in the bank or Jews. Okay, and if you're gonna go and deposit money on the desk or pull out money on the desk or do all kinds of things on the desk in front of someone, you're gonna have to write and sign. So if you need it for Chol HaMoed, fine, you're allowed to. But if you don't need it for Chol HaMoed, you could wait till after Chol HaMoed to deposit the check or to draw the money, put in money, whatever. And you're not allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed because you can't write. But if the worker there is a goy, he's not Jewish, he's an Arab. Sometimes you have an Arab worker. Or you're in chutzlach, so he's not Jewish. Then you're allowed to pull from the bank, draw money from the bank, or deposit money in the bank. A sefer, a scribe, of course, not allowed to write on the Chol HaMoed. But if they were reading the Torah on the Chag, and they see there's a mistake, and you can fix it. And it's the only Sefer Torah they have. They don't have another Sefer Torah. Then the scribe is allowed to take it to his house, and erase, and fix, and everything you want. This is the need of the Chag, and also the need of the public. Now, a person who doesn't have money, doesn't have any money, if now he's going to write these tefillin, or or this letter, he writes this to a journalist, I don't know. He's going to get paid for it immediately. He gets paid for each line or whatever. And if not, he's not going to have money for the Chag. Then he's allowed to write it. But if he has money in the account, now he has. He has where to get the money. He has where to eat from. He doesn't need to do anything to get the money. Then he's not allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed. So So too, writing on a computer. Everything we said, writing on paper, it's also regarding writing on the computer. If you're allowed to write on paper, you can write on the computer. If you're not allowed to write on paper, you're not allowed to write on the computer. Now, sending your friend a letter, let's say an email, Chag Sameach, whatever, you're allowed to send them Chol HaMoed. Why? It's for the need of the Moed. If you want to send someone an email, or you want to meet up with them later, right, on Chol HaMoed, and you have one of these WhatsApps or whatever, Facebook, whatever it's called, and it's going to help you meet with them later. Of course you're allowed to use it in Chol HaMoed. But time now to write now a novel. Novel, we have a whole thing, and hey, you want to write a story on the computer. It's faster to write. I still do not Chol HaMoed. Or someone whose job is to go over books. Right, they fix this here and there letters that were mistakes. Yeah, it was called the editing. I still do that Chol HaMoed. No. Downloading onto CDs, you're allowed to. Printing, Chol HaMoed is not allowed unless it's, again, things that you're allowed to write. Okay, now that was writing. Now, you learn regarding Avelut and the Moed. Someone is an Avel, one of his relatives died. How does he act regarding the laws of what's it called in English?
Mourning.
The laws of mourning, right. We'll see now. Asur la'asfid 30 yom lifnei haregel. If mish niftar lifnechen, mish niftar b'erev chag, gam mish niftar 30 yom lifnei haregel, mutar la'asfidam gam b'erev chag. If someone died more than 30 days before a chag, it was Pesach, right? Just recently? Let's say someone died at Puri, before Puri. You can't make all big eulogies and mourning and stuff like that. Okay? What kind of eulogies? 30 days before the chag. But someone who died within 30 days of the chag, you're allowed to do it. But not on Erev Chag. If someone died Erev Chag and there's a Levaya now on Erev Yontif, you're allowed to do eulogies on Erev Yontif. Okay. But not after Chatzot, and not a Chol HaMoed, unless it's a big time Chacham and he died now and it's a Levaya. Then you do. Like, for example, Avoznosh Zechut Zadik Rohan. Avoznosh, he passed away on Yom Tov. And Levi was on Chol HaMoed. You don't do eulogies on Chol HaMoed. But since he's a huge time Chacham in front of him, meaning he's not buried yet, then you're allowed to do the eulogies even on Chol HaMoed. Yeah. We know, everyone who lost a relative knows that there's one of the mitzvahs of mourning is to tear the dash of the top clothing that you're wearing. On Chol HaMoed, we don't tear unless it's for a parent. For father and mother, we do tear on Chol HaMoed. The person has, Chas Shalom, a parent, you lost a parent on Chol HaMoed, or the Levaya on Chol HaMoed, that's when you tear. So he tears only for father and mother. For other relatives, some places they're accustomed to do, some places they're accustomed to not. There's no special custom, you don't tear. And even when you tear for your parent, right after the Levaya, You take off that clothing and you wear a nice one. That's not like a regular mourning that you wear the whole week. You take it off right away and you keep it on the side. And after Chol HaMoed, you're gonna have to sit shiva anyways. Then a person will have to wear that shirt for the week of the mourning. Mm. The shiva.
And after that week, what do you do with the shirt?
You put it in the garbage. You don't fix it. You know, there's a custom that after the mourners come back from the cemetery, so you give them round things to eat, lentils or an egg or a round bagel, right, to remind everyone that for two reasons, either that their life is a whole, it's like a cycle, people are born and die, and the second thing is, that just like the egg or anything around, there's no opening to it. It's just round, no beginning and end. So to a mourner has no mouth to say anything. But in Chol HaMoed, if it's a Levi, Chol HaMoed like Rav Ozna was, or people who died in Chol HaMoed, you cannot. You don't do this meal, this special meal. You don't make this custom, this special meal after the burial. You make a meal just with some coffee and cake, because you can't emphasize the morning that it's a morning meal. It's not covered in Chol HaMoed.
You're not supposed to cook for themselves. Somebody else has to cook it.
Yeah, we'll see. That's during the regular meeting. You don't sit Shiva b'chal Chol HaMoed. If someone is buried at Chol HaMoed, his family is going to have to sit Shiva after Chol HaMoed.
7 days.
7 days. There's no mourning at Chol HaMoed in public.
No.
Yeah? But, nevertheless, friends could come and console the person. And the 30 days start not from the beginning of the Shiva, rather they start from the death. Or from the day of the burial.
Do that again,
man. Even though the Shiva is not going to begin until after the Mayav, the 30 days mourning, right, Shloshim, will be according to the day of burial, not according to the day of Shiva. Okay. It's a lot of little laws in this and customs in this. And so, chas shalom, something happens to someone and he has to find out, speak to a rabbi who knows halachas and he'll tell you all the small details.
So, if the person has died the first night of like Pesach, and it's 2 days for Uswarts, so they couldn't be buried for like 3 days.
You're allowed to bury on Chag.
The second day?
Even the first day you're allowed to
bury. The first day.
I don't think today they do it, but you're allowed to. Today we have refrigerators, so it's not the disgrace of the dead.
Isn't there bowls here on the first?
Yeah, but anyways they went to bury him because it's not as respect.
They buried him that night, didn't they?
Yeah. First of all, out of respect. People are going to come to Levaya.
Was it on the first night or was it on the
first night? He died in Berlin 24 hours later. Whatever, 20, 30 hours later.
So Levaya was.
Matzei Shabbat. Someone who died, someone who had lost a relative in the on Erev Chag and they buried him on Erev Chag, or he lost a relative within the week, a few days before the Chag. And he was mourning, even for 1 second, 1 minute he was mourning before. Let's say they buried him a minute before Shkia, 2 minutes before Shkia. They don't do like that, but let's say half an hour before Shkia, right before Shkia. And he sat a second, and they told him, Malcolm and Acham Esam, are you even out? He just sat for a second. Him? So he doesn't sit Shiva anymore. He sat for one split second, doesn't sit Shiva anymore. Okay? The regel breaks away the Shiva. If he started sitting before the regel, so whatever he sat before is good, so that's all. He doesn't have to sit anymore.
Okay. It was 2 days before.
Okay, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days.
2 days that stops it.
No. Tell you even 1 minute, so of course 2 days. But 30 days, if it's for parents, he has to keep 30 days. But if someone finished the Shiva for a relative, he finished the Shiva, he finished sitting Shiva the night before the Chag, let's say the night that they checked the Chametz, right? Even if he got up in the morning, let's say, right? I never face that in the morning. And the Chag came, he doesn't have the laws of 30 days. But for parents, yes. For the parents, it's mourning for a year, so of course it's mourning for 30 days. But if someone is mourning for 30 days, right, and the chag came in between, within the 30 days, after the Shiva, he doesn't have the laws of 30 days.
Same laws for brother, sister, or yeah. Wife?
Wife. Child. Now, it's a law that a lot of people know. We don't go to cemeteries in the month of Nisan. Yeah? Unless he finishes Shiva in within Nisan, then you do go to the cemetery. But to go as a kara, like a if the Shloshim was within the Shiva, right? Within the, I'm sorry, if Shloshim was 30 days is in the month of Nisan, or the Azkara, the Yotzeit, is in the month of Nisan, then you don't do it on the month of Nisan.
You might cry.
You might cry, and it's a month of happiness. We definitely don't do, we don't go to Kever on Chol HaMoed or on Pesach itself. Chol HaMoed Sukkos, Chol HaMoed Pesach, of course not. On Chol HaMoed never, unless for the burial. You don't do Shiva on Chol HaMoed for 7 days, you do after the Chag, you go to the Kever. But you let it go to Kibbutz Tzadikim on Chol HaMoed and on the whole month of Nisan. On the Chag itself, you don't go. Ah, the Kibbutz Tzadikim?
Yeah.
Of course, yes, why not? We go to Rabbi Nachman, we go to Uman, we go to Shabbat Yochai, and for the Chagim. Of course. Shabbos, big thing. Rabbeinu says, Shabbos by the Tzaddik, it's like fasting 7 times from Shabbos to Shabbos. No, what is it? Rabbeinu says, Shabbos by the Tzaddik, it's like fasting a whole week. But Shabbos by me is like fasting 7 times a whole week.
Seven times straight
a whole week.
Shabbat.
Yeah. Every year when we go to Uman, we always say a Shabbos. A big schut.
We're there for Shabbos.
We're always there for Shabbos. Now, Shabbos, right, and Chol HaMoed, which is Shabbos, and Sukkot, not allowed to move the little on the Nesoy. They're mukze. Can't touch them. You don't take them to shul. We do everything without the lulav in it. Only on Shabbos. So if the first day of Sukkot is on Shabbos, then we don't bring the lulav in Nesoy. And the mitzvah of doing the lulav in Nesoy that year, if it's outside the old city of Yerushalayim, it's the Rabbanan, it's not the Oraisa. Because the Oraisa, all over the world, is only on the first day. But what you could do is go even once to the Kotel, make a bracha, and shake the lulav. And he did a mitzvah the Oraisa also that year.
Come on.
Yucky, beautiful.